Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, step right up. 31 other NFL teams make your best pitch for Davante Adams. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. If you're in the market for a wide receiver, or maybe you're not, one could be available now because Davante Adams reportedly asking for a trade from the Raiders. The Raiders are, quote-unquote, considering it. I'm sure they are. They're probably phones ringing off the hook like it's a telethon or something. They might as well be raising money. And Pearl, it's, you know, something that had a big moment earlier this week when head coach Antonio Pierce liked an Instagram post from Sports Illustrated that asked if Davante Adams had played his last snap as a Raider. And then nobody went to Davante and said, hey, that was a mistake. Hey, sorry, my fat fingers. Hey, sorry, my fingers are mangled from all my years as a linebacker. Nobody said anything, just crickets. So, of course, Davante Adams probably thinks it's time to go.
Yeah, well, I think he wanted to get out of there anyway. I think he was looking for spark to start this fire here. I think he wants out. He's wanted out probably all season. Now, Pierce talks today, by the way. I'm dying to hear his explanation. Does he just say, I liked it, so sue me? Or is he like, it was a mistake? I think he has to say it was a mistake. He's going to come out and say that was a mistake, because he'll look like an idiot if he actually got on Instagram and game week and liked a post saying, I want to trade my player. This is something head coaches cannot admit to doing, because that'd be one of the dumber head coaching moves we've seen.
Right. That's why I can't help but be conspiracy theory Maggie on this one and say, did they want to tick off Davante Adams? Did they want to force him into this position where he's like, guys, you're pushing my hand here. I can't just sit here and have my own organization taking shots at me on social media and not do anything about it. Because to me, Davante Adams, at least publicly, has always said the right things. You know, Aaron Rodgers has talked about Davante Adams, but Davante Adams has never said, oh, I want to trade. He's always said, this is where I am. He said, I don't want to go chasing. He doesn't want to do a Kevin Durant, if you will. Doesn't want to be perceived as a bus rider. All that stuff. And now I can understand where he's coming from. Like, now you got to do something. Now, one thing you and I have not talked about with regards to this is, where should Davante Adams go? What makes the most sense? Because we can unpack the Raiders dysfunction, and you're welcome to call on that at 855-212-4227. But who's Raider loss? Like, who's going to gain Davante Adams, and how much of a game changer he could be at this point in the season?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of injuries around the NFL and wide receiver spot, so there are a lot of suitors. I think you just got to go with the most simple answer. Reunite with Aaron Rodgers. Because, to me, there's a couple key reasons. One, the Jets need more offensive explosion. Aaron Rodgers hasn't totally gelled with Garrett Wilson, their number one receiver. Garrett Wilson, in fact, out there criticizing his own offense. Not good. Mike Williams is coming off an injury, his number two receiver. He could use Davante Adams. That's obvious. The second thing is, Davante Adams probably, Dan Graziano said the trade might not happen because if you wait a few weeks, his cap number comes down. Basically, it comes down $1 million every week they wait. So he needs to come in about week 7 or 8 and know the offense immediately. So he's got to go to a coordinator that he knows. So I'm assuming him and Nathaniel Hackett are on the same page. He's got to know the terminology. I think
the cadence,
the other teams. Well, I know nobody knows Aaron Rodgers' cadence in New York, but I just think midseason he can't go to a new system. So to me, that makes the Jets the most logical fit. And I'm going to credit the 33rd team, the excellent website that covers football. Trade Hassan Reddick, get rid of their headache, give him to the Raiders. And say a third round pick, Reddick and a third round pick just makes so much sense. I think Rodgers needs that comfort of having Devontae Adams. And I think you see a lot of lists on the internet. The Jets are in all of them. It just makes so much sense. The only thing that gets in the way is that the Jets tend not to do the thing that makes the most sense. But this is the other thing, too. You've mentioned this is an all in year for New York.
Totally.
Like, they can't mess around. Joe Douglas's job, the GM, is on the line. The coach's job is definitely on the line, Robert Saleh. And Rodgers knows he doesn't have a lot of years. So all in, all the stars seem to be aligning. The only thing that makes me nervous is the Jets generally don't follow a logical path when it comes to team building. But this one, they kind of have to do.
Yeah.
And I say third round pick, be damned, do it.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point. The Hassan Reddick thing is kind of an interesting wrinkle to this. I've seen a little bit of that. But are the Raiders sure he's going to show up in their facility? Do they want to pay this guy? You know, his stock is pretty low right now because he literally didn't show up.
Also, do the Raiders want to win games? You know, we're talking about Shador Sanders. You're going to have to get awfully high to get him. Does Hassan Reddick help you or hurt you?
So the one thing about, you're right about the Jets. Do they usually make the right move? No. But
yeah,
there is one thing that the Jets have going for them with regards to this. Their owner loves stars. There's a reason why Rodgers has full reign of this organization, and make no mistake, he does. Not only would he be lobbying Joe Douglas, the general manager, he's also, I'm sure, getting in the ear of Woody Johnson, the owner, who is the same guy who brought in Tim Tebow for no good reason, the same guy who, you know, wanted Favre and is always looking for the savior, you know, always looking for that one guy who's going to come in and save the organization. And the irony is that they had some of their more successful years when they just had a good defense and almost like like Mark Sanchez. But he loves stars and what you can sell. Devontae Adams is a no doubt star. And so I think this is a place where ownership, GM, head coach, everyone would be aligned on the same page to go get him. And so it's a good pick by you. But it's not the pick, I think.
But all that being said, like, I don't know, the Jets aren't always the biggest free agent player. Like, they never went after Devontae in the first place.
Well, they went after Rodgers, and I actually think they may have secretly have been talking. I don't know if they're not going to talk with him. That'd be tampering.
Yeah.
But they signed everyone else that Rodgers wanted.
Yeah. But I feel the star team, the Raiders, are a team that traditionally has gone over stars. Daniel Snyder's Washington team. I don't know if I put the Jets in there because they have Rodgers, but hey, if that helps, because I'm strong. If I could bet on this, I'd bet the Jets.
Yeah, I think there are odds on some offshore.
BetAG.
Yeah, check your password a couple times on that. It's a great point. Him going to the Jets makes a lot of sense. I don't think that's the team where he's going to go. I also think there's a team that maybe is off to a bit of an unexpected start, also has some veterans, also could be in a win-now mode, also has head coach, GM could be on the hot seat, need to have a good season, and that's just going to the Saints. Derek Carr, again, like, these two guys can't quit each other. And they didn't really get the time and they didn't have the right head coach to see this thing through. You know, Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, college teammates, love playing with each other, and it just got cut short. They have unfinished business. And I think the Saints getting off to a hot start, very winnable division. They're right there. And I think a lot of people's jobs are on the line in New Orleans too. So I think New Orleans is the place.
That makes sense. Their receivers are pretty good.
Olave's good, but he's hurt. I mean, he's still out there making plays. And well, Kamara's been phenomenal as a running back and can catch passes out of the backfield.
Right. Rashid Shaheed got off to a super hot start and then has been a little slow. That makes a perfect sense, except.
And they have a veteran team, a veteran defense, all of that.
Does this feel like a Saints move? Like, this would be a little out of character for them.
Well,
they're not
fortune favors the bold,
probably. Yeah. No, they're not like a Rams all in kind of team, generally. But I like it. It'd be great indoors. Devontae should be thrilled for that because there are a lot of opportunities in that offense. Defenses have to worry about Kamara. Olave takes a ton of attention away.
Listen, Clint Kubiak in this new offense, and this is made. This is fun. It's fun to watch the Saints.
Yeah, which is right. Starts. It's the stretch. It's the ball fake. It's the play action.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the thing though. I like my choice a little bit more, because Devontae would have to maybe learn that Kubiak offense. So he's played in Green Bay forever, and then he went with Josh McDaniels in Vegas, and now
Didn't LaFleur's all work for Kubiak too, right? Didn't Saleh work for Kubiak? He did. He worked on the defensive side, but he was in Houston when his dad, why am I blanking on his name?
Gary.
Yeah, Gary Kubiak.
Thank you. But isn't, now, this, I'm a little out of my depth here. So Green Bay runs the classic West Coast offense, and Clint Kubiak runs the Gary Kubiak stretch offense.
Right, a little bit different, but again, like,
It's similar because Kubiak worked for Mike Shanahan.
Right. So they're all kind of, I think,
they're all from the same tree,
based off of each other. Okay, I put Jets and Saints out there. EJ, you're a Jets fan. Nico, you're also a Jets.
Giants.
You're a Giants fan. I should know that. You came in wearing all that Giants gear recently.
Nico just dresses as like random players.
Nico's like a Modell's.
Yeah, no.
It's just all your whole wardrobe of sports stuff. We love that around here. What do you think about the Jets and Devontae, EJ?
It's one of those things where, like, I hear the rumors and I'm like, okay. I guess maybe I've been beaten down, as Maggie said, just by the Jets looking for that savior, looking for that big name that's going to put them over the top. And it just feels like the Jets have more of, like, a meat and potatoes issue. Like, they don't consistently stop the run. They don't consistently block. So it's like, oh, let's get Devontae Adams. That'll fix everything. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I can't hurt. And I'd be happy if they got him. I just feel like with the Jets, all we care about now is trying to win a Super Bowl. I just don't know if Adams makes a difference if Aaron Rodgers is getting bludgeoned behind the line. And that's a reality we saw in that rain game. And maybe, as Aaron Rodgers said, maybe it's an outlier. But it's something I've seen from the Jets now for years where they can't protect. So I think it makes sense. And I think the Jets will go after him. I would love to see Devontae Adams, if not with the Jets, in Baltimore. Because
that's
Baltimore
scary.
Is the kind of team where they have just, for whatever reason, they can't figure out the wide receiver position. I mean, they've been trying to figure this out now for like 20 years.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to catch balls as a wide receiver when the ball's in your quarterback's hands and he won't let it go. He just doesn't drop back and throw it to the wide receivers. It's not Lamar's thing.
Yeah, but I feel like perhaps if those guys also ran better routes, those guys got open, he just doesn't have great receivers. And we know that because when those guys leave Baltimore, they don't do anything either. It's not like, oh, some receiver that Lamar Jackson played with left Lamar and then went to play somewhere else and he became a Pro Bowl. Like, these guys just aren't that great. So
yeah,
I would love to see a real top-end guy with the Ravens, see what does that look like.
I hear what you're saying, but I just don't think he's not going to get a lot of targets there. They have Derrick Henry. They're going to run the ball. They're not going to want to throw to him. He wants like 1,500 receiving yards.
I know, but think about that Chiefs game, though, where we saw a game where it was like, you can't run the ball anymore. Your team is down. We need you to drop back and throw. He threw like almost 40 times that game, I think.
That was a terrible mistake.
No, it was a mistake, but you also couldn't win that way with that personnel. You can't win with playing two tight ends and two receivers. I know the tight ends are pretty good. Andrews had a bad ankle, but like, you can't win that way and be down 14 points and beat a team like the Chiefs. You need a guy who, chipped her down, he can beat his guy one-on-one no matter what. And they just haven't had that guy since they couldn't get the T.O. trade done. Like, that has been a big issue in Baltimore for years. They tried to draft guys that hasn't worked. They've signed guys that doesn't work. You get a bona fide Hall of Famer, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I heard an interesting take on Lamar, and I don't know who to credit, saying Lamar Jackson is the greatest thrower to tight end in the history. Was that on our show? Sorry.
He said, nobody. Did you say that?
Nobody has said. Nobody's ever said.
So Bogush must have said it, because Emperor definitely wasn't paying attention.
Lamar Jackson was killer throwing to tight ends at Louisville and is amazing. And like, that's his jam, is throwing to the tight ends. It's his favorite target. It's his favorite part of the field. So I just, I do not see this as like a happy spot for Devontae Adams. I think Zay Flowers is wildly talented too, by the way. They're starting to use him a lot. He's a knucklehead. There's no doubt about that. I don't think he's a good dude, but I think he's very talented. I just don't think that Baltimore offense is ever going to be, hey, let's mimic Patrick Mahomes. It's just not what they do. By the way, Pittsburgh, the same thing. He would go insane there.
So Pittsburgh
go totally insane.
Is another, because they were allegedly in on Ayuk. Now, that's a very different thing. You sign Ayuk, you're signing him for the long haul.
Yeah.
This would be a rental, but obviously the Steelers are off to this really good start. Would he be, Pickens barely gets enough targets.
I know.
Would Devontae Adams, although maybe that takes a little bit of the pressure off of your quarterbacks, and you have a great, you have a great target. They are starting to throw a little bit more with Justin Fields, although they were behind last week, so they had to start throwing a little more.
They were not, that first half against the Colts, they didn't, how many receiver targets were there? Three?
Yeah.
I just do not, and that's another guy who holds onto the ball waiting for a bigger play, which he often gets, by the way, but still, I just don't think that's a good fit. Arthur Smith, oh my God, that would be the worst offensive coordinator for Devontae Adams. He hates throwing the ball to the star players. That's his jam.
Well, the one thing is, do you play a little defense? If you think Baltimore's about to get him, if you're the Steelers, do you come in with a bigger offer just to do something like that to kind of prevent him from going to a division rival. Again, it's for a rental. The other team that I've been seeing out there is the Kansas City Chiefs. If I, to steal a line from Chevy Chase, I wake up with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be as surprised as if he went to the Chiefs. Why the Raiders would ever trade with the Chiefs? I know people don't, like, oh, who cares? They're division rivals. It's about you. It's not about them. I think with the Chiefs and with the Raiders, it's about each other. I think there's serious bad blood there. I don't think they would do it.
If you were going to do a trade, you would have to pay a price. Like, the Chiefs would have to give up a first rounder, something crazy.
Which they're not
going to
do.
No, no. Also, the Chiefs, I'm not sure they need Devontae Adams necessarily. I feel like they need a little speed because Rashee Rice was like these extended handoffs. Devontae Adams is a possession receiver at this point. Cowboys definitely coming up. They desperately need a number two receiver. Eagles have all their hurt receivers and the Commanders.
Okay, so you mentioned the Cowboys, and yeah. I'm glad you mentioned them because this is another team that obviously could use Devontae Adams. But you talk about this a lot. For as much as Jerry comes off as this sort of gunslinger, kind of, you know, sharp-tongued kind of dude, they're actually rather conservative. Now, they made the big trade for Amari Cooper many years ago, but that definitely was not, that was not an in-season trade as far as I'm remembering. I believe that was an off-season.
Actually,
it might have been a trade deadline trade. I got to think back. It's rare, though. Like, Amari Cooper, that was years ago that they did that, and that was two number ones. I mean, that was a massive trade.
Yeah.
When they do this kind of thing, they're actually a rather conservative franchise when it comes to this type of thing.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, but then again, a lot of the teams you mentioned are in the same boat.
EJ, that was a midseason trade?
Yeah,
that was an October trade.
But what year was that?
2018.
Wow.
First round pick for...
Yeah, so it's been 6 years. I mean, they...
By the way, they could trade for him again today.
Everybody definitely wouldn't be a first round pick.
Yeah.
Consider they traded him away for, what, a six-rounder or something crazy? do you think that the Cowboys are seriously considering this?
No, I don't think so. If for some reason, by the way, you know what's going to happen here. You know who's going to sign him. Who has signed everybody on the market?
The Rams?
The Titans end up signing every player. Everybody, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Legarius Sneed, they all end up in Tennessee. It's going to be somebody completely disappointing. That's because... All these teams we're talking about, these smart teams, probably see this and are like, wow, he's not worth the money. He's older. I'm not giving up draft capital. I'll bet you this doesn't go. Everyone's like linking him to contenders. I wonder if he just goes some random team that is not a contender.
But why? Then you've got to pay him. He's got no guaranteed years left after the season. So now you're trading, which gives him now major leverage if you trade away a high draft pick to... You know, re-sign him. So now you're re-signing a plus 30 wide receiver for a team that's not a contender? That doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know. I mean, Cleveland, can't imagine they have the money in Cleveland, but I think the Raiders will take the best offer, and I'm not sure that comes from these contenders. We're all sitting here saying the Jets are one player away, the Cowboys are one player away, the Chiefs are one player away. There's a lot. What team can take on the money? That's the other issue, too. Like, if you're really good, you probably don't have $14 million of cap space sitting around. The Jets do, though.
Can I give you guys the most fun option that has been mentioned, probably?
I think I know, but go ahead.
Washington.
Yeah, I just said, yeah.
Did you say Washington?
Well, I said, yeah. I said the Cowboys, Eagles, and Washington.
I missed the rest of the NFC. Yeah. I mean, that's a team. And then I also think we talk about the random bad team that may do something. I think you're on the right track with AFC North. What about Jacksonville trying to save their season? Like that's a situation where I think Tennessee may be inclined to be like, you know what, we just really stink. We're going to move on from Levis. Or we'll draft the quarterback and figure this out next year. I do wonder what Jacksonville, because then they just paid Trevor Lawrence. They may be like, hey, like we just can't afford to be a top 2-3 pick. Like, that doesn't help us. Like, we need to try to win some games this year and help him out. Let's get Adams in here. He could mentor Brian Thomas. And now we replace Calvin Ridley. Maybe that's a move that they make as a desperate team trying to get back into the playoff fund, especially considering the AFC South looks shaky.
Yeah. Did you guys know that Shad Khan, I had not known this. I heard it on Michael Lombardi's podcast, that Shad Khan, the owner of the Jags, had said this is the best team in the history of the organization and they're 0-4.
Yeah. I mean, we had Tony Khan here and he's kind of echoed those similar comments. He said, we feel really great about our roster. And on paper, I get it. It's kind of weird. Like, I look at their roster, I'm like, yeah, I mean, they got some good players, but it just has not come together at all. Yeah.
It's funny. I thought you guys were going to say the 49ers.
Oh.
Ooh.
So many injuries. No, one season.
They have the cap space to do that? That would
for this year.
Do they?
Yeah, the Brandon Ayuk money doesn't kick in until next year. Yeah, Purdy money doesn't kick in until next year.
What about the Trent Williams and McCaffrey and the other money?
I think all that stuff is not for this. I don't know how much is on this season.
I like it. But I was half kidding with the Titans. They already signed. They signed Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd, and DeAndre Hopkins. But I just think that there could be some randomness to this, too. Like, this trade might happen. We'd be like, wow, didn't see that coming. I just feel like the obvious fits, it's not as obvious. Like, say, take the Jets or the Saints. Like, it's just not as easy to do this. Like, we play it like fantasy football owners. That darn cap. You started the show by saying the cap guys are all working. Like, that cap. That's a big hit. Like, people have to remember that. This is not an easy trade to make at all.
Which is why the timing is actually brilliant.
How so?
You need a month. The trade deadline is not until November 7th, I believe. You need a month probably to figure this out.
And the cost goes down every week.
The cost literally goes down every week, right? Yep. Because the Raiders have to pay every game check until he gets traded. So this was probably the best time, which goes back to my original theory that I think the Raiders did this on purpose. To try to push him to ask for a trade. 855-212-4227. We're asking, what's this, Maggie? This is Antonio Pierce, the head coach, liking an Instagram post that said Devontae Adams had likely played his last snap as a Raider. Okay, lots more to get to, including we check in with the Cowboys. Injury news you must know about. We do that next.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of Shields, Guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com. All right. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. So, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and there's a lot of things.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, no, I know. There's a lot of things I can handle. I don't like the Dallas Cowboys. So, if they have injuries, we'll talk about it in a second, and they end up falling apart, that would be good as an Eagles fan. But I can't handle Washington winning the division either. That would ruin my world. Growing up, I hated Washington just as much as Dallas because they used to kill the Eagles for a year. So anyway, the NFC East is just a complete mess right now, except for Washington, which is one of the craziest things ever.
Yeah, you know, this has been a great story. You and I love Jaden Daniels, so it's been a lot of fun to watch. I've got no dog in this fight at all. I can just sort of sit on the sidelines and appreciate it and like it. I spent some time in D.C., so I know how passionate the fans are there.
Definitely.
I'm happy they finally have something good to cheer for. It's been 4 games, guys. Not to do Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, but have we crowned this dude a little bit too fast? I mean,
no.
He's off it to this unreal start. Do we really think this is it? This is his rookie year? It's going to be... I mean, C.J. Stroud has an unbelievable rookie year, but even he didn't start this fast.
He's C.J. Stroud 2.0. He's fine. I think the reason Washington fans are excited, it's a total implosion in Dallas and Philly. I mean, you really could not have a worse start. I know they're both 2-2, but look at them. They're falling apart.
Yeah, well, let's get to our Cowboy Quickie. We'll tell you what we're talking about. Looking good here for Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. So according to the Cowboys, we know what happened, that they got hurt against the Giants, but they are reportedly going to miss time. And it's possible that Micah Parsons is missing more than just the Steeler game, which happens on Sunday night this week. So they have 2 games to play, the Cowboys. Then they have a week 7 bye. Jerry was very positive about it, said he didn't think either injury was very serious. However, they could miss multiple games, and that's a problem. That's your Cowboy Quickie for today.
Yeah, and well, obviously a huge problem, but they can't stop the run anyway, even with those guys. And look who they're playing. They have the Steelers this week, who are a great running team. Do you think they're going to be able to tackle Justin Fields? I don't see that happening. Then they have the Lions next week before their bye, who is probably arguably the best running team.
Yeah,
and then they got the 49ers who can run and the Falcons who can run. So I just don't see how this defense comes together, especially without DeMarcus Lawrence. And now with Parsons, if he plays, not being 100%, this seems like a problem, Mac. I'm not going to lie to you.
Listen, and we're talking about whether or not they trade for Davante Adams. I mean, that could be the least of their problems.
He won't get on the field because the other team's going to have first down after first down after first down because they can't stop the run, and they didn't do enough in this offseason.
Well, and you know what happens anytime the Cowboys get down in a game. It's just good night. Like, they cannot play from behind. It's not that kind of team, partially and mostly because they can't stop the run. So it's, you're right, it's devolving, and your Philadelphia Eagles is no picnic right now either. The roster is talented, but nobody's playing up to, you know, their expectation.
Nobody's playing. Nobody's playing. I mean,
on the offense,
you can't have. Oh well, the defense is just god awful.
Well, I thought they were supposed to be better this year with the new defensive coordinator.
I got fooled by the Saints game. I don't know what happened there. Their defense, they were the worst defense in the league second half of last year, and that defense is back. They're probably bottom five of units in the entire NFL.
Okay, but here you started this with the question about the Commanders, right? And that this is going to be tough for you to
watch. It's an opportunity.
It is an opportunity, but you're asking a ton from a rookie quarterback because I saw this stat the other day that the Commanders have, by some metrics, the number one offense and the number 32 defense.
Right.
Like, you can't live that way. That is that is so wild. That's such a wild swing. And maybe as we go on, Dan Quinn is a defensive guy. We'll get that unit playing a little bit better. First, I thought I should be betting every Washington over imaginable. And secondly, like, you're asking a lot from a rookie quarterback because you're essentially going to be in shootouts in every single game because you can't stop anybody.
Well, yeah, but the Commanders' defense has improved week to week. You could look at it that way. They're learning the system.
Yeah, they were better against Arizona, but
yeah, I mean,
Arizona is also terrible.
I mean, a lot of that was the first game was just the Bucs put a million yards up on them. But regardless, so you're going to win this division.
And the Bengals.
Yeah, you're going
to throw for throw.
You're going to win this division 9-8. I do not see, or 10-6, which is, by the way NFC East used to be every year, where somebody would, this is one of those divisions where you're not going to need a lot of wins. I don't have it in front of me. I assume the Commanders have an easy schedule based on how they did last year. So, and they have a lot of Giants on there. They have injured Cowboys, injured Eagles. It's a great opportunity to get away with it here. To me, again, it's not just a function of them being good. I just think Dallas is in real trouble here. I think their defense is going to be a problem.
Yeah, it definitely is. And the offense hasn't been gangbusters either.
Their run game is bad.
Commanders' next opponent, Cleveland, then at Baltimore, Carolina, Chicago. Yeah, I mean, they've got a little Pittsburgh on here. But if it's all the pushback would come from within the division. That's the most important thing. And while these teams are down.
Baltimore's defense, except for, I guess, your Buffalo, has been pretty bad, too. So I think that Jaden could go off against them.
Yeah, thank you for that. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines. Hello.
Hello again. Headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code MNP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Wait, I'm sorry. Before you start, I'm going to write down a number, and I'm going to put it right here on this paper. And I'm not going to tell you what I think this number represents. And then at the end of the update, we'll see if the number is anywhere close to what I thought. Continue.
As I mentioned last hour, the first three road teams won wild card games yesterday. But then the Padres finally protected home field.
First pitch, Tatis swings, sends it in the air, very high to left, very deep. Laureano is back. You got to be kidding me. A long home run. First pitch, first at bat. 2-0.
Jesse Agler on Padres radio. Fernando Tatis Jr., a two-run homer before Braves starter A.J. Smith-Shawver recorded an out. Padres starter Michael King did most of the rest of the work. 7 shutout innings, no walks, 5 hits, and 12 Ks for a 4-0 win. After the Tigers and Royals won in Houston and Baltimore, the Mets rallied for an 8-4 win in Milwaukee, scoring 5 in the fifth after the Brewers pulled starter Freddie Peralta after just 68 pitches.
It's not the first time. It happens in the past, too. I don't understand the reason that I was took out of the game, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Manager Pat Murphy said they didn't want Peralta to face the Met lineup for a third time. He gave up 2 runs in the second, but had 1-2-3 innings in the third and the fourth, and then came out of the game, and basically all hell broke loose for the Brewers. Today's schedule again begins with the Astros hosting those Tigers at 1:30 Central. The WNBA champs are almost done. The Aces down 0-2 in their best of five semi after an 88-84 loss at the Liberty. Becky Hammon says her team has just not been good enough.
I'm not mad at the officials. I'm not mad at the New York Liberty. I'm mad at us because of the amount of layups we're giving up. And it was a thing in the first game. It's been a thing in the second game. And if it's going to be a thing in the third, like, we're not going to win. They're too good.
No team has recovered from an 0-2 hole in league history. Only one has even forced a decisive game five.
My Liberty, by the way.
No.
Yeah, right.
Come on now.
Where do they play? What borough?
No, we're not doing
this. No.
Oh, I've been a Sabrina Ionescu fan for years.
Her name's sure. Ionescu, by the way.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. They play 10 minutes from my house. I can jump on this bandwagon.
It's way too late. Also, yeah. This should be a note to the Chiefs. It's hard to three-peat. We know that. Is there any lessons they can take from the Aces? It's hard to three-peat. The Aces don't look like they're going to be able to three-peat. This is what I'm saying.
No, take the L out of Lover. It's over for the Aces.
The Lynx avoided that 0-2 hole with a 77-70 home win over the Sun. Browns D-lineman Mike Hall gets a five-game suspension after pleading no contest to reduce charges stemming from a domestic violence incident over the summer. Hall's been on the commissioner's exempt list, so he gets credit for that. He just has to miss this weekend's game, then returns to the active roster. Texas State is staying in the Sun Belt, declining an invite from the Mountain West, who still needs an eighth full-time member to meet NCAA requirements. And NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman said yesterday the league will start CBA talks with the Players Union in early 2025. Their current agreement expires in September 2026. Bettman says they are optimistic about keeping labor peace. All right, numbers lady.
Well, I'll get to that in a second. You know, speaking of labor peace, you warned us, and this is a non-sports thing, about the dock workers.
Yes.
And the longshoremen, right?
Yeah.
And there's like, they're going on strike, or they went on strike, and this is a big deal.
Right. So what's happening? I saw a headline that Biden may or may not get involved with this.
I mean, I think he's going to have to. Again, we're a little out of our depth on this one, but this is dock workers and longshoremen who are responsible for getting all this cargo off of ships. They don't want like AI and robots and stuff taking any of their jobs, which we totally understand. And so now they're going on strike, and it's like, well, we got the holidays coming up, and that's where a lot of these
entire Eastern Seaboard like can't unload a ship. Not
seems
ideal.
Seems like a problem.
Yes. Seems like you're running in trouble for that.
Yeah.
By the way, before we get to that number as well, I want to circle back on the WNBA thing. So Perloff, the Philly is trying to get a WNBA team.
I know, but they don't have it yet.
All right, but are you going to jump off? You can't. If you're on the Liberty bandwagon, you're on. You can't go to the Philly, whatever they're going to call them, because they're going to get a team at some point.
Well, I was actually thinking about this. I'm renting the bandwagon until Philly gets a team. See? I thought maybe that'd be an out.
No, come on. That's...
Renting the bandwagon. I mean, how little commitment can you possibly get? You're not even on the bandwagon. You're just renting on the
bandwagon. I was actually thinking, EJ's right. There's a lot of discussion about a WNBA team in Philly. I was thinking that maybe the Liberty would be my one New York team because they play so close to my house.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think if the Liberty weren't so great, I would say maybe I would allow this. I am okay. Like, I want you to join the Miami bandwagon. I'm still on that.
The Canes?
Yes.
Favorite team as a kid. Everybody.
Yeah,
no.
So I'm like, yeah, come to that. But the problem is the WNBA, like, the Liberty are a super team.
They were in the finals last year.
Yeah, they're in the finals last year. Like,
if jumping on the 49ers.
Yeah, come on. Like, well, I mean, listen. Now.
I fight. I'll take the Fever.
This little team that no one ever talks about.
Yeah. Philly doesn't have a team yet, and the Liberty, that's off limits. Then give me Caitlin Clark. Might as well.
You know the WNBA team that just expanded. Remember the Valkyries?
Yes, cool the name. Warriors team.
Right in San Francisco. I mean, the bar has been set very high for what the name could be in Philadelphia. You got to come up with something real cool.
That's official.
Yeah, the Valkyries.
Yes. Oh, I'm a fan of that team. That is awesome.
It's like a goldfish.
He picked four WNBA teams in a matter of 2 minutes.
And how would you want him on the your Miami side? Just for numbers? There's no commitment, there's no help to argue with
me about Hail Marys.
Wait. Exactly. College football, you're allowed to root for multiple teams. That's just a fact. There's just too many of them.
You can't just have one weekend. You jump around like nobody's business.
The village bicycle, man.
Maggie and I grew up without college football teams in our neighborhood. We're allowed to root for whoever we want.
Isn't Penn State a Philly team, though?
Yeah, you're right. I did.
I grew up right near Syracuse.
I have to be honest. I was a hardcore Penn State fan, and then things took a turn for the South.
Oh, that was tough.
Understandable.
Yeah, you had permission to jump off that bed.
I'm talking about Christian Hackenberg.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's what we were thinking of.
That was rough, too.
I wrote down a number, and it was before Bogus started the update, and I said, I'm not going to say what the number is, but I wrote down a number, and the number was 3. And I thought that was going to be the over-under set on prostate jokes that Bogus was going to mention in the update, because Perloff asked me earlier today, do women have prostates? And everyone got quiet. Because, no, we don't. Yeah. And I thought everyone kind of knew that. But maybe the Ivy League schools don't have the curriculum they used to have.
Liberal arts.
But
if Manny was here, he'd blame liberals.
I think a lot of people do not know, and we can't talk about it now because it's adult and kind of gross, what the prostate actually does. I think that's a fair thing.
Yes, we've agreed with you from the beginning on that. The stunner was the, hey, Mags, how's your prostate?
I didn't say how's your prostate. I just wanted to make sure.
Thank you. Yeah. Whether you have one is one thing. Knowing what it does.
Yeah.
Go get your prostate checked, people.
This is your.
That's the bottom line. I'm drawing attention.
Yes, men only.
Yes, sorry, men. Sorry.
Women, don't go and be like, can you check my. Anyway, we know we don't have one. I know what I have and what I don't have. The fact that Perloff didn't know is a little surprising. Also, you have two daughters.
I care about my own personal health.
Right.
Listen.
You're not responsible for anyone else.
I'm getting myself checked. Whatever is going on with you, I don't want to know.
Thank you for your concern. Anyway, that's what the number was. But you give 0.
I gave 0. I have others. They're percolating. I got a couple, but they take some time.
Unlike a prostate exam, which I think can be done pretty quickly.
it's very brief, thankfully.
And you should do it today.
Yes.
You can, or as soon as possible. All right, we got to go. Thank you, Bogus. Coming up, lots more to do. Today's a Wednesday, which means we do the great debate. That is at the top of the hour. We've got some college stuff for you today. Perloff's got questions. And the one thing we have not answered about the number one Super Bowl contender. We'll do that next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, and you hanging out on this very, very busy Wednesday. the Davante Adams stuff has totally taken over. But Pearl, can I bring your attention to something else that I saw yesterday?
Yes.
Our pal and your pal, Jordan Schultz. You know him?
Yeah, yeah.
Reporting yesterday, or maybe earlier this week, that Doug Peterson has already lost the locker room.
Yeah.
Now, EJ brought up a good point about Davante Adams, and maybe the Jags would make a move, right? Desperate team, you're 0-4. The offense, you know, has been lackluster. Trevor Lawrence looks bad. I say broken. It's not Deshaun Watson, but doesn't look very good at all. You paid him all this money, but if Doug Peterson has already lost the locker room, and that was according to Jordan Schultz saying he's talked to multiple people, you know, do you make this kind of investment if you feel like you're on the verge of maybe making another big change? I don't know.
I don't think you do. But by the way, he lost the locker room. I can't imagine Doug Peterson ever had that locker room.
He's a Super Bowl winning head coach who comes in after Urban Meyer. I mean, the bar could not have been lower.
I'm not sure that he needs the right situation where there's a locker room that's easy to have. He's not like he's not like a Belichick type. Like, he's not going to come in there and get everyone in ship shape. I think he was the opposite of Urban Meyer. So this doesn't surprise me. I think there was a little bad luck in Jacksonville. Like, I think
this year,
I think that they should have won that Miami game. And I think that was like a devastating blow to lose that game.
Yeah, but you got to be able to rebound from that. It's week one. You got 17 weeks in an NFL season. They're just a terrible fourth quarter team.
Yeah. I mean, they're not a great overall team, but if you're going to lose your close games like that, then it's going to be bad. So I think they're actually not a bad team. I think they could be easily like a 7-8 win team. I don't know if they get there. They have a lot of talent. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is nearly as bad as... But I think his expectations are so high that he doesn't meet those, but he's definitely a competent quarterback. I think Travis Etienne can be spectacular. Tank Bigsby was running so hard on Sunday. Like, there's definitely talent there. Trayvon Walker is actually... He's another disappointment, but he's not as bad as people say. Josh Allen. Like, there's talent there. I just think that they're not quite there. Like, they can't have bad breaks, and they've been getting them. They'll get good breaks. Trust me, they're going to win some games. EJ and I were trying to convince you that the other day. They're going to be a dangerous team later on. You know,
I don't know if I see it, but this could end up being a lost season. But tanking does nothing for them, obviously, because you've already paid Trevor Lawrence. They've had multiple number one overall picks back to back, in fact. Yeah, the Doug Peterson losing the locker room, that's never one you want to hear. Okay, let's get to Aaron Rodgers.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Now, here's what we're talking about. When we created this segment, it wasn't to talk about football. Anyone can do that. It's to talk about the weird stuff Rodgers says during some of the interviews that he gives. Now, this one occurred on the Pat McAfee Show yesterday. And Aaron Rodgers was asked about his relationship with Robert Saleh. But, Pearl, if you remember that clip where Saleh's going for the hug and Rodgers pushes him away with two hands.
Yep.
Rodgers explained that.
I pushed Saleh on the field, realized after the game, he's a hugger, but he's a tapper. He gives you three taps, that's enough. You know, and we all know people like that, so... It's you live and you learn, and you got to adjust on the fly. And I feel like I did a pretty good job with that. You know, when I thought he was a two-hand push guy, you know, like, push. Then I realized, no, he actually wants a hug, but not a long hug.
That's the important thing.
I still don't understand this. And so why did he push him away before he even got in there?
This makes so much sense to me now.
Robert Saleh,
he didn't think he was a hug guy. He thought he was a two-hand push guy. We're pumping each other up. We just got off the field. We got a two-score lead. And Rodgers didn't understand Saleh actually did want a hug, long hug. Hips to the side, three taps, and then you're out.
But he did say that Saleh was a three-tap guy, so he was aware of how he hugged.
Right, but I think in that instance, he thought it was more of a push you on the sideline, pump you up kind of thing.
I think it's a mixed message out of Aaron Rodgers here.
Rodgers or Saleh?
No, Rodgers. I think Rodgers was aware that there was a three-tap hug in the ether. He knew that Saleh would sometimes go. I think this is an excuse. I think he's trying to talk his way out of this.
Been a miscommunication. You guys are weird with how you show affection.
Trust me, there's no more awkward situation like for example, Super Bowl week, which is a convention in the sports industry. Uh-oh. Is this a handshake? Is this a bro hug? Is this a flat-out hug? It's so stressful as a male. You have no idea, Maggie.
Facts.
I get 1/10 of that stress because I don't know. Also, sometimes people want a hug.
Right, but you don't have. See, we have an extra option, and I think that's what Roger. There's this sort of bro hug.
Yes, women don't do that.
And actually, during a football game, the punching each other in the chest. So there's a fourth option. I mean, listen, it's like I know Peyton Manning was great at audibles, but Rodgers is coming to the sideline. He's got four plays to go to. He's got a complicated hug tree right here, and he has to make a choice. That is not easy. I know Aaron Rodgers is good at thinking on his feet, so I get it. I actually am not going to kill Rodgers for this. Even after that, it's hard to explain. That was a tough situation.
Well, he also went on to explain all the different hug strategies of every single coach. So he's like, I got another coach who comes in for the hug and doesn't let go, and then looks you in the eye and says something kind of motivated, then gives you a whisper in the ear, and then moves on. I'm like,
well, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, and then
we might want to talk to HR about that coach.
And he reads you a bedtime story, and then you crawl in together. I kind of get this. I do feel bad at some point for men. You guys are going through something here, but you also speak a different language with each other about, like, women, if you never really, like, push each other. Like, I would never think, even if I was playing sports, I don't think I would ever push another woman in, like,
also,
celebration.
Also, there's the just hit a guy in the arm. There's that, too. Like, hey, buddy, and you hit him in the arm.
Yeah.
Like, sort of slap him on the back.
And you guys also, you hit each other in all different types of spots.
Facts. That's true, too.
We've had a lot of prostate talk today. That's probably the only place you don't hit each other.
How about in the office? I don't know if you guys, is there anybody that you hug here when you see them? Because I got a good fist bump rhythm going with our boss, Ryan Hurley. We're fist bumpers.
Yeah.
And it's comforting. We both know it's coming. It's a nice way of saying hello in the morning. Now, I don't think you probably can't hug the boss as a woman here.
No, unless it's like something like congratulations like that. Then that would be appropriate. But I don't really fist bump people either.
You should add it to your repertoire. It's very hygienic.
Yeah.
Fist bump is one of the greatest inventions for men because handshake can go terribly, especially if you go handshake into the fist bump, the famous turkey, as it's called. That's the worst. I would introduce fist bumping.
What if the roles reverse, though? Like, you go for the fist bump, and then someone, like, grabs your closed fist.
Yeah, that has a name, too. What's that called?
I don't know.
It's bad.
Just, paper beef rock?
It's a little moist, too. Like, oof. I think, you know, in the post-COVID era, too, handshakes, a lot going on there.
The only thing I don't like about the fist bump is I feel like if someone extends their hand, you shouldn't then give them a fist. I take offense to that a little bit.
Right. Someone extends their hand, you shake it. They're saying you're gross. Puts hand sanitizer on your hand later.
Shake the hand. Yeah. Or even just do it like tap. Like, you don't got to even do. There's variations of a handshake. I don't like the I extend my hand and you give me a fist.
But football has a whole different set. This is a league where the commissioner hits all his players and all his coworkers in the rear. That's his famous thing. He's a rear slapper. We had Ani Bosa. That's what Roger Goodell does around the office. So football has a whole different set of rules. Sorry.